Chapter 9, The Dream of the First Attention. This brings me to the story about Adam and Eve in paradise. Adam and Eve represent all humans, and God told us that we could eat whatever we wanted except for the fruit of the tree of knowledge. The day that we eat the fruit of this tree, we would die. Well, we ate it, and we died. Of course, this is just a story. But the important thing is the meaning of the story. Why do we die when we eat the fruit of this tree? Because the real name for the tree of knowledge is the tree of death. The other tree in paradise is the tree of life. Life is truth, and the truth just is, without words or symbols. The tree of knowledge is just a reflection of the tree of life. We already know that knowledge is created with symbols, and that symbols aren't real. When we eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge, the symbols become a virtual reality that talks to us as the voice of knowledge, and we live in that reality believing that it's real, which means without awareness, of course. It's obvious that humans ate the fruit of the tree of death. From my point of view, there are billions of humans walking around in this world who are dead, but they don't know they're dead. Yes, their bodies are alive, but they are dreaming without any awareness that they are dreaming. And this is what the Toltec call the dream of the first attention. The dream of the first attention is the dream that we create by using our attention for the very first time. This is what I also call the ordinary dream of the humans. Or we can say that it's the dream of the victims, because we are victims of all the symbols that we create. We're victims of all the voices in our head. We're victims of all the superstitions and distortions in our knowledge. In the dream of the victims, where most people live, we are victimized by our religion, by our government, by our entire way of thinking and believing. When we are children, we cannot defend ourselves against all the lies that come with the whole tree of knowledge. As we said before, our parents, schools, religion, and our entire society hook our attention and introduce us to their opinions and beliefs. We believe in the religion that we believe in because our parents believe in that religion, because they take us to church or another place of worship, and we learn to believe everything we are told. The adults who take care of us tell us their stories, and we go to school and we hear more stories. We learn the story of our country. We learn about all the heroes, all the wars, all the human suffering. The adults prepare us to be a part of our society, and I can say without a doubt that it's a society ruled completely by lies. We learn to live in the same dream they live in. Our faith gets trapped in the structure of that dream, and that dream becomes normal for us. But I don't believe that they did this with any bad intention. The adults can only teach us what they know. They cannot teach us what they don't know. What they know is what they learned in their whole lives. It's what they believed in their whole lives. You can be sure that your parents did the best they could for you at the time. If they didn't do better, it's because they didn't know any better. You can bet that they had all kinds of judgments about themselves, and that everybody else was judging them too. They lived in the dream of the first attention, the underworld, the dream that we call Hades or hell. They were dead. Of course, all these symbols are not exactly the truth. The truth is behind the symbols. It's in the intent or the meaning of the symbols. When religions describe the dream of hell, they say it's a place where we burn, a place where we are judged, a place of eternal punishment. Well, that description of hell is the ordinary dream of the humans. That very same thing is happening in the human mind. The judgment, the guilt, the punishment, and the emotions generated by fear that feel like a fire burning inside us. Fear is king of the underworld, and it rules our world by creating the distortions in our knowledge. Fear creates the whole world of injustice and emotional drama, the whole nightmare that billions of people are living in. And what is the biggest fear in this world? fear of the truth. Humans are afraid of the truth because we have learned to believe so many lies. Of course, we're also afraid of the lies we believe. Truth or fiction, just having knowledge makes us feel safe. But then we suffer because we believe what we know, and almost everything we know isn't true. It's just a point of view, but we believe it. And we deliver the same distorted messages to our own children. The whole chain continues, and the history of the humans repeats itself again and again and again. Long ago, wise people compared the dream of the first attention to a marketplace where thousands of people are talking at the same time and nobody is really listening. The Toltec called this a mitote, which is a Nahuatl word meaning extreme gossip. In that mitote, we use the word against ourselves. And when we relate with other people, we use the word against them. Every human is a magician. And in the interaction between the magicians, there are spells being cast everywhere. How? By misusing the word. By taking everything personally. By distorting everything we perceive with assumptions. By gossiping and spreading emotional poison with the word. Humans cast spells mainly upon the people we love the most, and the more authority we have, the more powerful the spells. Authority is the power that a human has to control other humans, to make them obey. You can see yourself as a child being afraid of authority. You can also see adults being afraid of authority. Words spoken with authority become a powerful spell that affects other humans. Why? Because we believe those words. If we understand the power of symbology, we can see where the symbols are taking us. We can see it by the way we behave, by the interaction we have with everybody, but mainly with ourselves. We become possessed by an idea, by a belief, by a story. Sometimes it's anger that possesses us. Sometimes it's jealousy that possesses us. Sometimes it's love that possesses us. The symbols are competing for control of our attention, and in one way or another they're changing all the time. They're taking turns possessing us. There are thousands of symbols that want to take their place in our head and control us. As we said before, all those symbols are alive, and that life comes from us because we believe. The symbols are talking and talking inside our head. They never stop. It's just as if we have a narrator in our head telling us everything that is happening around us, as if we're not aware that we're perceiving it. And now the sun is going down. That's good. I'm hot. Look, there are trees over there. What's that person doing? I wonder what he's thinking. The voice of knowledge wants to know what everything means. It can hardly wait to interpret everything that happens in our lives. It's telling us what to do, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it. It's reminding us all the time what we believe about ourselves, what we don't believe about ourselves. It's telling us everything that we're not. It's asking us why we can't be the way we should be. In the dream of the first attention, the world we live in is just like a reality show hosted by the voice of knowledge. And for sure, we're always going to be right and everyone else is going to be wrong because we use everything that we know to justify everything in our show. What a reality show. Rated number one. We create every character in that story, and whatever we believe about every one of them is not the truth, and it never was the truth. With a whole tree of knowledge living in our head, we no longer perceive the truth. We only perceive our own knowledge. We only perceive lies. When we only perceive lies, our attention becomes trapped in the dream of hell. We no longer perceive the reality of heaven all around us. And this is how humans fell from paradise. In the story of Adam and Eve, we had a great exchange with a snake who lived in the tree of knowledge. That snake was a fallen angel who delivered distorted messages. He was the prince of lies, and we were innocent. The snake said to us, "Do you want to be like God?" A simple question, but can you see the trick? If we had said, "No, thank you, I'm already God," we would still be living in paradise. But we answered, yes, I want to be like God. We didn't notice the lie. We bit the fruit. We swallowed the lie. And we died. What makes us bite the apple without noticing the lie is the doubt. Before we have the doubt, we don't even know. The truth is there and we just live it. Once we ingest the lie, we no longer believe that we are God. And this is when we start to search for God. Next, we believe that we have to create a temple to find God. We need a place to worship God. We have to sacrifice everything to reach God. We have to create pain in ourselves and offer our pain to God. Very soon, we have a big temple with thousands of people believing that they are not God. Of course, we need to give God a name, and the result is the creation of religion. We create the God of thunder, the God of war, the goddess of love, and we called them Zeus, Mars, and Aphrodite. There were thousands, maybe millions of people who believed in these gods and worshiped these gods. They offered their lives as a sacrifice to these gods. They even killed their own children as an offering to these gods because they believed these gods were the truth. But were they? As you can see, the first lie that we believe is, I am not God. From this lie comes another lie, and then another, and then another, and we believe and believe and believe. Very soon, there are so many lies that it's overwhelming, and we forget our own divinity. We see the beauty and perfection of God, and we want to be like God. We want to be that image of perfection, and we search and search for perfection. Humans are storytellers. And we tell our children stories about a God who is perfect, about a God who judges us and punishes us when we misbehave. We tell them about a Santa Claus who rewards little children who are good, or more like God. These messages are distorted. The kind of God who plays with justice doesn't exist. Santa Claus doesn't exist. All that knowledge in our head isn't real. You see, when we talk to the snake in the tree of knowledge, we talk to a distorted reflection of ourselves. That snake in the tree of knowledge is who we are really so afraid of. We're afraid of our own reflection. Isn't that silly? Imagine looking at a reflection of yourself in the mirror. The reflection appears to be an exact copy of what is real, but the image in the mirror is the opposite of what's real. Your right hand is your left hand in the mirror. The truth is always distorted by the reflection. When we're children, the mirrors around us hook our attention so we can see them. And what we see are distorted images of ourselves. According to their mood, according to the moment when those mirrors are reflecting to us, according to whatever belief system they're using to justify their perceptions. The humans around us tell us what they believe we are. But there isn't a clear mirror to reflect what we really are. All the mirrors are completely distorted. They project what they believe onto us, and almost everything they believe is a lie. We believe it or we don't believe it, but when we're children, we are innocent and we believe almost everything. We put our faith in lies. We give them life. We give them power. And soon those lies are ruling our lives. The story of the Prince of Lies is just a story, but it's a beautiful story, made with symbols that we can understand and then draw conclusions. I think its meaning is clear. Once we start dreaming that we are not God, the whole nightmare begins. We fall from paradise and go directly to the underworld, to what we call hell. We begin to search for God. We begin to search for our self. Because the tree of knowledge is living our life, and our authentic self is dead. And this reminds me of another story about Jesus the Christ, who was walking with his disciples when he saw a man who was worthy of his teachings. He went to the man and said, "Come and join me." The man replied, "I will come, but my father just died. I have to bury him, and then I will follow you." And Jesus told him, "Let the dead bury the dead. You are alive. Come with me." If you understand the story, it's easy to see that you are dead when you are not awake, when you are not aware of what you are. You are truth. You are life. You are love. But in the process of domestication, the outside dream, the dream of the planet, hooks your attention and feeds you all of your beliefs. Little by little, you become a copy of the outside dream. You copy everything you learn from everybody and everything around you. You copy not just beliefs, but behavior, which means you copy not just what people say, but what they do. You perceive the emotional state of the people around you, and you even copy that. You are not who you really are because you've been possessed by that distorted image of you. And this may be a little difficult to understand, but all this time, it has been you who possesses you. What is possessing you is the virtual you. It's what you think you are. It's what you believe you are. And that image of yourself becomes extremely powerful. All these years of practice have made you a master of pretending to be what you think you are. And that distorted image of yourself is really your grave. Because the real you is not the one who is living your life. And who is living your life? Is it the real you who creates all the drama and suffering in your life? Is it the real you who says life is a valley of tears and we come here to suffer? Is it the real you who judges yourself and punishes yourself and invites other people to punish you too? Is it the real you who abuses your body? Is it the real you who doesn't even like yourself? Is it really the real you who's dreaming all that? No, it's not the real you. You are dead, and that's the truth. And what is the key to coming back to life? Awareness. When you recover awareness, you resurrect and come back to life. In the Christian tradition, the resurrection day is when the Christ comes back from the dead and shows his divinity to the world. That's why you were here, to come back from the dead and reclaim your own divinity. It's time to come back from the world of illusion, the world of lies, and return to your own truth, to your own authenticity. It's time to unlearn the lies and become the real you. And in order to do that, you need to come back to life, which is truth. Awareness is the key to coming back to life, and it's one of the main masteries of the Toltec. Awareness takes you out of the dream of the first attention into the dream of the second attention, where you rebel against all the lies that are ruling your head. You rebel, and the whole dream starts changing.